comes as a bit of a shock to the system for some people, you know, when they first read, you know, when they first told that evolution is a lie, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when your mother told you there was no Santa, and it's kind of like the rug's pulled out from under your feet, and the whole world comes crashing down. All these years you've been fed lies, you know, and told that there was this imaginary character. And just the same with evolution, you know, you were told from the cradle to the grave, it was fed you, most of you, that is, at least anyway. And never heard anything else, told anything else, just accepted the lie, you know, that evolution was true. You got it from godless parents, and you get it from godless teachers, you get it from godless media, you know, you're just indoctrinated with it. Never think of anything else. Many of you, so that you've ever read a book, just one single book, in opposition to evolution. Many of you have read just one pamphlet in opposition to it. Any of you read one paragraph even? Now you just accept it, what you've been told. And of course then you've got this nature within you, you know, that stubborn, rebellious. It's what you're born with, you know. And of course you've got your love for sin. And of course, just what you want to hear about evolution, you know, when they first started marketing it in Darwin's day. Darwin wasn't the inventor of it. He just, he was just pumping out stuff that other people had dreamed up, you know, but he was the one that made it popular. And of course, when he did, it was just exactly what an unbelieving world wanted to hear. And of course, it's what you want to hear. It's called self-deception, you know. We do it all the time, all of us, you know. So what we want to hear, the truth is too hard for us. Reality is too much to accept, you know. And atheism, you know, that it's a crutch. You know, it's a crutch for those that can't cope with the reality of God. And so, of course, what you want to hear is you know, wishful thinking. You don't want there to be a God. You don't want to find God, for the same reason that a thief can't find a policeman. Now, it's just what you want. What you want to believe. It's not the truth. It's a lie from the very pit of hell. And of course, that can be proved. It's been proved time and time again. You know, one philosopher was told by one atheistic, godless philosopher was told by one of his students one day, your contentions don't fit the facts, he told him. The atheistic philosopher answered him. He said, then the facts be damned. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it can be proved. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. It's what suits the fallen, sinful human nature. And you're going to go with it. Yes, of course, that is God. You know, by the truth, penetrates your mind. His sovereign grace and mercy enlightens you. Shines a light into your heart and mind. And reveals the knowledge of himself and his son Jesus Christ to you. Well, you'll carry on believing the lie. You know, that's what the Bible says. You've exchanged the truth for a lie. Sold out in the truth, bought the lie. Again, because it suits, you know. But of course, you know the truth. You know that God is, just as much as I do. But of course, you know him in condemnation. You know him in wrath and displeasure. He says he's made it plain to you. He says he's shown it to you. He says you even understand it. You know that God is. That's for sure. But of course, you're not going to come out of hiding. You're not going to come out the lie. You're not going to come out the self-deception. Why? Because, well, you know that God's wrath is upon you. You know that His displeasure is against you. And of course, that scares the living daylights out of you. Man, your love for the truth. You don't come to the light. Why? Because you know your deeds are evil. You know you're under the judgment, displeasure of God. You don't come out from under the lie because, you love your sin, as the Bible says. But of course, sin is a dreadful thing, you know. And of course, it isn't just what you say or what you do. It's not what you think. It's the very inclinations in your heart, you know. And of course, that comes from the fact that you're born in sin. You've got sinful natures. Unless they're changed, unless your nature's changed, you say, well, who on earth can change my nature? Jesus, nobody else. Son of God, that's what He came for. It's where the hope lies. God's Son coming into the world. Make that a possibility. Men's natures could be changed. Could be born again. Receive a new nature. Receive eternal life. Receive forgiveness of sins. Why Jesus came. Why He died. Why He rose again from the dead. So that could be possible for the likes of you, sinful men and women, like you and I. But of course, like you see, it's more than the actions. It's not just that you tell lies. It's not just that you speak untruth. It's not just that you don't tell the truth. It's not just that you do things wrong. You know, you do the drunken, you do the immorality. You know, the sexual stuff. It's not just that you do these things, bad enough that is. It's the very inclination. You say, well, I don't do it, but you can be inclined towards it. You got the inclination to sin. Any sin at all, doesn't matter what it is. That's the sin, you see. It's that you got a heart that desires sin. You got a mind, you got a bias towards it. You love the stuff, you love the vomit, you love the filth of your sin, and that's why you keep going back to it. You say you won't, you say you'll reform, you say you stop doing the thing, you promise your loved ones, you know, won't do it no more, but you do, you keep going back to it. You know, just like the dog returns to its vomit, that's what sinners are like. So that Jesus can take the inclination out of your heart. Only Jesus can change your nature, give you a new nature, one that loves, one that desires God, desires holiness, desires His commandments, but no one ever did until they were born again. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. Except a man's born again, he can't see, can't even understand the kingdom of God, never mind enter into it. But Jesus says the kingdom of God's at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Why? In order that you might enter into it, but you don't even want to repent. You don't even want to believe. No desires for such as that. Not until God works miraculously upon your heart, your nature, changing it. Bible questions posed to you. You know, can you change the spots of a leopard? Your answer, of course, is no. Of course you can. That's its natural state and condition. Well, says God, how can you, who are accustomed to do evil, that's your natural state and condition? How can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, do good? With you, this is an impossibility. There's none good, says God. No, not one. None who understands. All gone out of the way. Altogether become unprofitable. None that does good. No, not one, says God. Oh, you see, I'm a good person. God ought to let me into heaven, really? You think so? Well, let's try your goodness out. Let's try your goodness. Let's bring it to the test of God's word. Let's see if you'll get to heaven by your goodness. You say you're a good person. How many lies have you told? Don't ask you if you lied. Of course you have. See, how many lies have you told? Well, God says that nothing that tells a lie shall ever enter his heaven. So that excludes you straight away. You ever lusted after the opposite sex? Well, Jesus says then, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Nothing unclean, says God, will enter heaven. And then we should ask the question, maybe, have you ever stolen anything? Big or small, doesn't matter. Anything at all. Well, says God, no thief shall ever enter his heaven. So there goes your goodness, evaporated right before your eyes. No entrance to heaven, blocked, kept out, forever and ever if you die in your sin. But of course, Jesus came, he loved sinners, and he came and he expressed, he showed his love, died on the cross for sinners, rose again from the dead, in order that you might be made right of God, in order that you might get to heaven, that you might have eternal life, new nature, new heart, new start, begin again, and with God that is. And of course, when you're finished in this world, this life, go to heaven. Of course, the alternative is you keep with the lie, you stay in the self-deceit, you continue to kid yourself on, you go on suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, in wickedness that is, in unbelief. Well then, your end, you're finished. You know, when you're done with this life, instead of going to heaven, you go to hell. Tell you these things in order that you might, you know, avert such an end as that, that your destination might be altered, that you might be saved from such a catastrophic end, that you might be saved from the damnation of hell. Only the gospel can do that. Religion can't do that. You see, I don't want religion, neither do I. Jesus didn't come to make people religious. He came to save them. He came to rescue them from sin. And your sin is expressed through your religion as well. Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism, just like Darwin and Dawkins, just means that you use to suppress the truth in wickedness and unrighteousness. You just lean on those things. You just use them to keep yourself in the self-deception. Keep living the lie. And when you die, well, you go to hell. You suffer the punishment. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you this afternoon. But you see, the commandments of God: shall not lie, you shall not covet, shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, nor the gods before me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your parents, you know. Just a summary, of course, just a taste, if you like, of, you know, God's holy requirements that reflect his holy character. You see, that's what it means to be ungodly. It's to be unlike God. You see, he's holy in character. To be ungodly, you see, is to be contrary to God in your nature. You know, it's what you are. And, of course, to be contrary to God in your practice as well. That's what it means to be ungodly. But it was the ungodly that Christ died for, the Bible says. That's the gospel, you see. A person, not a religion. Religion don't save. No hope in the Pope. Muhammad, you know, he's dead and buried and gone to hell. Self-confessed murderer. It's in his own writings in the Quran. He's a murderer. No murderer has eternal life, the Bible says. So you see, people, it's not religion you need, it's the gospel. It's the good news about God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, to rescue them, to deliver them, to bring them to a knowledge, experience of God's love, God's mercy, compassion, and kindness. Only in the gospel, only good news concerning Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that is, who died. That's what he did, historically, 2,000 years ago, on a Roman cross, an atoning death, not because he had done wrong, not because he had sinned, not because he had offended God, but because you have. because you wickedly sinned, because you live in unbelief. He died for such, he died for sinners, he died for those who had broken God's law, but he hadn't. And of course, well, there's lots of men died in Roman crosses 2,000 years ago. You know what you say? Can you speak, madam? Can you speak without swearing? Can you speak without cursing? That's womankind for you today. That's your attitude today. The finger up and cursing and swearing and blaspheming. That's womankind for you today in your modern atheistic godless society. And then they wonder why, she'll go home and she'll wonder why the kids are kicking and fighting against her. You know why your kids kick and fighting against you? Because you kick and fight against God. You teach them what it is to rebel. You teach them what it is to fly in the face of authority, God's authority. But of course you don't have to teach your kids to do these things. They do them quite naturally, don't they? You know, because the natural born sinners, just like you, just like the rest of us, don't have to teach them these things. Comes quite natural to them. Natural born sinners, you see, you're either a natural born hater of God or a supernatural reborn lover of God. You must be born again. Never love God. Never love holiness. You'll never love purity. You'll never love goodness. You'll never love wholesomeness. You'll never love at all until you know the love of God, until you've been born again of God's Spirit. You see, Jesus comes into the heart and changes the heart and makes you, you know, love the things that you used to hate and hate the things that you used to love. You begin to hate the sin. You begin to hate the impurity. You begin to hate the unkindness, and you begin to love God and to love your fellow man. You see, that's the sum of God's law. That's why I tell you about the commandments of God, you see, because it's the commandments of God, you see, that reveal to you the knowledge of sin. If you didn't have those commandments, you wouldn't know what sin was. You say, what is sin? Transgression of God's law, lawlessness. Living outside the confines of God's law. It's not much more than that. It's even the inclination, the very fact that you're inclined to sin. You know, that in itself is sin. But of course, the knowledge of sin comes through the law, the commandments of God. You can't keep them. You know, you say, well, okay, I'll start keeping God's commandments. I'll keep them all the days of my life from now on. You couldn't do it. May as well try and pull yourself up by your bootlaces as try and do that. Impossibility. You say, well, why did God give us the law? To teach you what kind of sinner you are. That you are covetous. That you are adulterous. That you are thieves. That you are liars. Every single one of you. You break every single one of God's commandments. You're condemned. I don't condemn you. Jesus doesn't condemn you. God's law condemns you, to a man, to a woman, every one of you. Million, trillion miles away from God. Chancellor says this morning, as a nation, we're 18 trillion pounds in debt. Tell you people, eh? You're in debt to God much, much more than that. More than 18 trillion pounds. Your soul depends upon what I'm telling you here today. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish in their sin, but have eternal life through believing on his name. So I say, people, it's the law of God was given to teach you, not to save you. You can't be saved by keeping God's commandments. You can't be saved by doing good, you know. To reveal to you what kind of nature you've got. You've got a nature inclined to sin, inclined to wickedness, inclined to filthiness, you know. You draw to it like a magnet, you know, like a moth to a flame. And of course, well, that's got to be reversed. That's got to be changed. You know, your nature's got to be changed. You know, you need forgiveness, that's the fact. No uncertainty about that. You need the forgiveness of your fellow men, husbands and wives, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, all need forgiveness. But more importantly, you need God's forgiveness, because it's Him you've offended more than any other. Sin, the Bible says, is against God ultimately, and against God alone. Offended His holiness, offended His character. You see, you're a man, you're a woman, created in the image of God. You didn't come out of, you're not a piece of chemical fizz. You didn't come out of some primordial sludge. You amaze me, you people, you know. You say you're evolutionists. You say you believe in this lie. And then men start killing one another and you get bent out of shape over it. Why is it wrong for one man to murder another? Isn't that just survival of the fittest? Why is it wrong for a woman, for a man to rape a woman? Why is that wrong? Why should you get bent out of shape all over that? I mean, if you truly are evolutionists, if you believe this hogwash, then tell me, please, tell me, why is it wrong for a man to murder another man? Why is it wrong? Why do you expect there to be morality? Why do you expect there to be common decency? Why do you expect womankind to be protected by the law? Why do you expect any kind of law? If evolution is true, all you are is just a piece of chemical fizz, isn't it? That's all you are. You know, it's just a piece of stardust, you know, that came out of matter. And, you know, well, it's just survival of the fittest. So one bunch of men go killing another bunch of men, but no big deal, if you're an evolutionist, that is. But of course you don't believe that. You don't really believe it. You say you do, but that's where the self-deception lies, you see. You say you believe it, you think you believe it, you say you're an evolutionist, but you don't live consistently with what you say you believe. You know, you expect there to be law and order. You can't do logic, you can't do science. What's logic? We all use logic, every one of us. You know, I get out of bed so I'm not in bed. That's logical, isn't it? Of course it is. We all use logic. It's a universal principle. Logic, you know what I mean? But if you're an evolutionist, you get no basis, you get no intelligible basis for doing logic. What is logic? It's an abstract law. Thank you, sir. It's an abstract law. Abstract doesn't come from material, from matter, which is all your universe is, all you are, according to evolution. Just a piece of stardust, just a piece of chemical fizz. It's all you are. According to evolution, that is. But of course you're not. You're a man, you're a woman created in the image of God. It's what you are. And you reflect, you were made to reflect the image of God. But here's the thing, when you do the sin, when you do the sodomy, that's the reflection that you're giving of God. When you do the adultery, you're saying, you're reflecting that God's unfaithful, and He's not. He is faithful to the utmost. You see, you're tarnishing God's character in God's name. You're made in the image of God to reflect the image of God. But what do? Instead, you reflect the image of Satan, the devil. You've lost the image of God that He created you in, and now you walk and move and breathe in the image of Satan, of the devil. The uncleanness, the lies, the deceit, the false, religion, philosophy, evolution, whatever. That's where it comes from, out of the pit of hell. Evolution is not even a theory. I wouldn't even give it that credibility. to lie from the very pit of hell. And you continue to live in the self-deception. Then you go to hell with the devil. That's what hell was created for. Not for men and women made in the image of God, but for the devil and his angels. And all those, of course, that well subscribe to concur with this lie. So the law was given, as I say, not to save you, but to teach you something. Teach you what you don't know, that you're vile sinners. That's all you are. Sin, sin, sin. Through and through, start to finish, from the top of your head to the tip of your toes, walking, breathing, sin. That's all you are. You walk in pride. You walk in awesome pride, and all you are is just a tiny little speck of sinful dust on the horizon of God's universe. What has man got to be proud of? Eh? What have you got to be proud of in this generation, I ask you? Eh? You bring all these refugees from these other countries, you're going to give them lives, eh? You can't even help yourselves. Drug infested, filth, sodomy and fornication up to your eyeballs. Eh? How can you possibly give life to these refugees? Eh? You can't even look after yourselves. You're running out empty. You got no hope for this world, and you've got no hope for the world to come. Why? Because you exchanged the truth for a lie, that's why. You sold out in the truth, you rejected it. You embraced the lie, the evolution. And of course, the end of that, of course, is, well, if you don't learn the lessons of God's law, His commandments, what kind of a sinner you really are, what kind of a vile person you really are in the eyes of God. Not good at all. None good, says God. If you'll learn the lessons, but how can you ever come to know the principal matter that God would have you to learn through His law? One, that you are a sinner, and two, most importantly, that you need a Savior. The Son of God who loves sinners and gave Himself for them. I tell you these things for because I hate you. No, because I'm a sinner like you. I'm no better than you. I'm just better off than you. I've got a Savior. I've been forgiven. I'm going to heaven. And I tell you these things not to upset you. To upset you, well, that's not my fault. I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Because I want you saved? Because I want you to go to heaven? Because I don't want you to go to hell? Because I see you walking towards a precipice and you're going to fall into eternal damnation? And I lift my voice and I cry out to you, stop, stop. You're heading towards a precipice. That made me your enemy. I mean, if you loved your neighbor and your neighbor's house was on fire, and his neighbor's in bed asleep unaware of the fire, what would you do? What would you do? You wouldn't just knock on his door, you'd kick his door in, you'd drag him out the flames. That's what I'm here for. Muhammad can't do that for you, ladies. Muhammad's dead and buried and gone to hell. He can save nobody. People, listen up. You gotta learn the lessons. God gave you those commandments to convince you, and that's not comfortable. Fully acknowledge that. I know that from experience. To convict you of your sin, to convince you of the reality of your sinful being, and of the reality that you need somebody other than yourself, other than the Pope, other than Muhammad, other than the government, United Nations. You need Jesus. You need the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You need the one who is Savior and Lord, the Prince in Israel. You need Jesus. He's Lord. You know why he's Lord? You know why Muhammad's not Lord? Because he's dead and buried and gone to hell, like I said. So is Buddha, so is Confucius. You know why Jesus Christ is Lord? Because he defeated sin. He beat hell. He overcame the devil. He's alive from the dead and alive forevermore. That's why he's Lord. And every knee, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. You'll do it one day. You'll do it whether you believe or not. You'll do it one day. You'll bow the knee, every single one of you, either as your judge or as your savior, one of the two, and you'll confess that he is Lord. Yeah. There'll be no arguments in that day when you stand before him. There'll be no fighting, no arguing. There'll be no fingers up in the air like the lady a minute or two ago. I call her a lady, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. But you see, people, there'll be no arguments then. No, none at all. No, you telling God, you know. You'll be so utterly terrified. So utterly terrified, speechless, wetting yourself. The terror of the Lord. That's why I come and tell you, because we know the terror of the Lord. The wrath of God is being revealed, the Bible says, being all over your world. Can't you see it today? Can't you see the mess that the world's in? One spark from hell and you'll be into World War III. Can't you see that God is angry with this generation? That this is a generation of his wrath. The wrath of God is being revealed, already being revealed, against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because God, you see, has shown it to you, made it plain to you. You even understand that he is, but you suppress the truth in your wickedness. For that reason, God's wrath hangs over you like the sword of Damocles. And I tell you, you fall out of this world in your sin, and I guess that'll probably be the majority of you under the sound of my voice this afternoon. You'll go out of this world the same way you came in your sin. Just as you've lived, so will you die and go to a lost eternity, lest you repent and believe the gospel. Lest you repent and believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son. But you can't do that yourself. You can't repent. That's the gift of God. You can't believe. That's the gift of God. You can no more be born again yourself than you could be born the first time yourself. You have no choice in the matter. You were born of your parents, and that's how it is. That will be. And you've got no control over whether you'll be born again or not. That's of God. It's God. It's not of him that wills. It's of God who shows mercy. Unless he shows mercy to you, you'll live as you were born. You'll die as you've lived in your sin. You see, you shut up to God's mercy unless he shows you kindness, unless he gives you the gift of repentance. Unless he gives you the gift of faith, you'll never believe, you'll never repent, you'll never turn. But that's what God requires of you. Seek the Lord, he says, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. Repentance, you see, is a state of mind, change of mind. Change your mind about God, change your mind about sin, change your mind about false religion, Islam, change your mind about the Son of God who came into the world, Jesus who died for sinners. Atonement, ladies, atonement, that's what you need, the blood of God's Son. You know, the prophet Moses says in the Bible, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. God himself provided the blood sacrifice, his own Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Without God's Son, without the cross, Without the blood of God's Son, you can't be forgiven. Sin can't be atoned for. You can't be reconciled to God. Man's greatest need in any day, any generation, is to be reconciled to God. And of course, only one way. Jesus, by the blood of His cross, made peace for the world of sinners. But that peace has to be received consciously, deliberately, willingly by you. To those who did receive Him, Jesus, that is, He gave the right to become children of God, the authority, the power to become children of God, instead of children of disobedience. Yeah, you can mock, you can laugh, you can sneer. They were all there beneath the cross, just the same. But there were some being saved, some that God showed mercy to, some that God enlightened, some that God brought to a knowledge of the truth. Yeah, we know, we've heard it all before. Some people, get wise, get right with God. That's the most important thing. It's the greatest need today, whatever other need you have, getting right with God, through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's command, and you shall be saved, is His promise. But of course, it's just, like I say, it's a matter of the nature. You got to be reborn. Nature's got to be changed. The inclination, the desire for sin, that's got to be changed, taken out of you. Given a love for purity and cleanness. Given a love for God's commandments. No, it's only God can do this. Supernatural, miraculous act of God. Enlightening the mind, changing the heart, and giving you a new nature. Only God Himself can do these things for you. Religion can't do it for you. Morality can't do it for you. Only God in His Son, Jesus Christ. Because that's why He gave us His Word, the Bible. To enlighten you, educate you, teach you the things that you can't learn in school, can't learn in college, can't learn through the media. In other words, God, which is able, has the ability no other book has, to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Bible, Word of God, supernatural book in itself, penned by God, human office, and of course, breathed out by God, every single word of it. Not truth outside of the Bible, God's truth. Satan speaks a lie, God speaks the truth. Evolution's a lie, God's word is truth. It's the truth, says God, that will make you free, liberate you from the law of sin and death. Gospel, God's Son, Jesus Christ. The good news for sinners, good news for those who see themselves as God sees them, as being sinners, cut off from God, separated from God because of their iniquities. It's only when you see yourself as God sees you, willing to acknowledge the truth about yourself, to confess the truth, agree with God, that means that you are a sinner, deserving of His wrath, deserving of eternal flames. But you see, people, when you see yourself in that state and condition, well, I do tell you, given a glimpse of the reality of your sin, you swim shark-infested waters to get to Jesus Christ. But of course, that's not you now, not yet. But I pray for you. I pray for you every week. Pray for you just about every day. That God open your eyes. That God cause you to see the reality of your sin. That God bring you to His book, to the Word, read for yourself. See that these things are so. Maybe, perchance if you read God's Word, the light might shine. God might be gracious to you. I don't know. Maybe He will. Maybe He'll relent. Maybe He'll turn. Maybe he'll come to you in grace. Some people, you know, they're always crying for justice. Justice, justice, we want justice, you say. It's not justice you want, it's grace that you want. God were to give you justice, you'd be sent to hell immediately. If you got it, that is. Now it's grace that you need. God's undeserved favor. God's undeserved kindness. God's undeserved forgiveness. God's undeserved life. God's undeserved love. What you don't deserve, the very opposite to what you deserve. You deserve to be punished. Deserve to be damned. Deserve to be cut off from God forever. But God, through the gospel of His Son, grants that grace, that kindness, that compassion, that mercy to those whom He has chosen from before the foundation of the world. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's not. I don't know. You'll know. Will you repent? Will you believe the gospel? Will you give over your sin? Will you forsake your way? Forsake your thoughts and turn to Jesus Christ, God's Son, and receive forgiveness, receive eternal life. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved from sin's penalty, from its power that grips and holds you and won't let you go. Wages of sin is death. Saved from its penalty, saved from its power, and saved from its presence. Permeates your world, your own hearts and lives, set free from it, released, liberated by the Son of God, who loves sinners and gave himself for them. Greatest love that any man has for another is he gives his life for his friend. You know, Jesus, that's what He did. He died for His friends. He died for those who would repent, who would believe, who would trust in His name. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God assures you in His Word. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you free of charge. There's no cost, there's no obligation to you. It's yours to take and do with as you will. You know, take and read, who knows. Maybe, perhaps, you know, God will reveal His mercy, His loving kindness to you. But it's offered to you. As I say, there's no cost and no obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. You'd like to have a copy? God's Word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy.